A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. Thanks for being here. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. I love the Horicon Bank branch location out in beautiful tree-lined Wauwatosa at Mayfair Collection right there on Burleigh Street, my hometown. It's where my guest grew up as well. So always have a big civic spot in my heart for Wauwatosa. And a big thanks to Horicon. I'm excited for today's guest, Matt Kirchner. Matt is president of Lab Midwest. He is its host of the Tech Ed podcast, manufacturing leader and a speaker and really a global thinker on preparing the workforce for the age of AI. Matt and his team are working diligently, as he always puts it, to secure the American dream for the next generation of STEM talent and workforce. We're going to go deep into AI and its impact on jobs and manufacturing and education. Even talk about how AI is affecting the career search for many of us. Plus, Matt is just back from a trip to China. So we're going to hear all about that, how he prepared, who he is with. And coming up next month, October 7th, is the big Midwest Manufacturing Summit. It's a one-day event designed not only for manufacturing leaders, but really for any small or medium-sized business leader. You can learn about the potential transformative powers, if you will, of AI, and kind of peer into the operations and how it's being used by manufacturers. It's all at the Expo Center at State Fair Park, and it takes place within the Wisconsin Manufacturing and Technology Show, which is the state's largest manufacturing event, draws thousands of industry leaders, and really just proves that here in the Midwest, we are a manufacturing, not only a hotbed, but the institutional knowledge and the recruitment and the retention that happens around this space. It's building community and continuing to build the economy each and every day. Speaking of each and every day, what we do on the show, a little something called Two Up.
Now it's time for the
Two, count 'em, Two.
Two Up on the Upswing.
First up, things in the business and community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. Can you hear me now? At Summerfest? Can you hear me now? Indeed, you can. The nonprofit group Hear Wisconsin is going to host its mobile hearing clinic, audiology clinic, this Sunday, that's tomorrow, as part of Sunday Family Fun Day and the Summerfest grounds, Henry Meyer Festival Park. You get free hearing clinics, free hearing screenings. A full audiology team is going to help parents and children understand the importance of hearing health and the risks of loud noises and the ways to protect their hearing. A really great event. There's some free coloring books. There's some protective earmuffs available. It's all powered by Northwestern Mutual Foundation. It's free and open to the general public this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Northwestern Mutual Community Park located in the Summerfest grounds. I love that playground, kind of hidden back in the Summerfest grounds. It's open often, even when there aren't events. But this Sunday, a big event there. Take your kids, get those ears checked. Next up, will your Kohl's cash go even further? So Kohl's is rolling out even broader coupons and more checkout impulse items to drive value and continue to drive revenue on those value-added purchases. You know, when you're standing in line at Kohl's, the line kind of weaves around. They're adding all these additional things as part of their turnaround strategy. It's not only lifting digital traffic, but it's kind of nudging up sales, too. Last week, in an investment call, they said they're going to look at even more ways, not just adding these smaller items as we check out, but more ways to change the look and feel of the store. Kohl's leadership acknowledged on the call that they have a bit of an inconsistent look and feel at some of their layouts. So they're going to package that a bit better on the layout, marketing, and presentation side. You know what you're going to see more of at Kohl's? Any guesses? You're going to see more mannequins. It sounds like one of those weird things when you're talking about community and commerce, but Kohl's got away from it. It used to be more just clothes hanging on the racks and you got to go through them all. Now, the CEO says that they're bringing back mannequins to be able to show items and outfits in more of a personalized setting. It seems like a little thing, but I think it may have big impact not only on sales, but shopping in stores is all about the experience, and you want to see things the way you would wear them. So kudos to Kohl's for keeping an eye on the future and being open to change and innovation. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest and host of the Tech Ed podcast, joins us in studio. Matt, thanks for taking time out of your day.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Jeff, to be with you so much. So excited for the continuing success of The Upswing. You're doing such amazing work and reaching so many people, and it's a pleasure to be on again.
Appreciate it. So I'm going to dive into AI a little bit later in the show, but first I want to just ground in your story. How'd you first get into manufacturing? And we're going to talk about your podcast later in the show, but ultimately, what inspired you to start the Tech Ed podcast?
Yeah, so as far as how I got into manufacturing, I like to say that I didn't find manufacturing so much as manufacturing found me. I went to work for a manufacturing and RFID tech company early in my career, and it was kind of an interesting situation where the president of that and the vice president of that company were let go shortly after I joined the company as their controller, and I ultimately became the chief operating officer of that company. As you remember well, because we went to school together for many years, I always had a hard time sitting still. I always had a hard time paying attention, applying myself to my schoolwork. Things turned out okay. I made it through education, but I found that manufacturing was this place that it didn't really matter where you came from. What mattered is what you could do, and all those things I got in trouble for when I was in grade school, like being hyperactive or rambunctious or not sitting still or having too much energy. Once I got to manufacturing, those things weren't criticized. They were actually rewarded, and they were super valued. So I loved my career in manufacturing, 25 years in manufacturing, as a matter of fact, chief operating officer of that company, chief executive officer of two companies after that. And then, of course, 10 years ago, we morphed our careers into what we say is securing the American dream for the next generation of STEM and workforce talent, drawing as many people as we can to careers in advanced manufacturing and STEM. And that was really the impetus for the Tech Ed podcast. You know, we say we're a mission-driven organization. We want to secure that American dream for the next generation of STEM and workforce talent. And the podcast was just another extension of that work. It's taken on a life of its own in the last couple of years, one of the top technology podcasts on the globe now, we're proud to say, number one podcast in STEM and technical education. But it's really because of just the incredible message that our guests bring to that venue every single week.
Yeah, and you've really taken what you've learned, you've packaged it, you've promoted it, and you positioned it into the Tech Ed podcast. And as you bridge kind of what you've learned in industry and education, I mean, you're a leader and a disruptor through AI now. Talk to us about AI in manufacturing, kind of what you've learned in the last couple months.
Yeah, well, I love that term disruptor because I think both of those spaces, industry and education, are in need of disruption. And we're happy to, if not lead, which I think in some cases we do, certainly be part of an incredible group of people that are making changes in both manufacturing and industry. Specific to the world of manufacturing, AI is changing everything. It's changing the way that we gather data on what we call the edge out at our manufacturing lines, what we do that with that data, how we continually improve manufacturing processes. It's improving yield. It's improving cycle time. It's improving throughput. And so what we need is a generation of people that understand those technologies and how it's being disrupted. It's not just on the manufacturing floor. We can create AI agents or virtual employees, if you will, to handle the back end of a manufacturing operation, things like scheduling, things like handling accounts payable, accounts receivable, all of our financial reporting, customer service. There's so many ways that we can use artificial artificial intelligence, not to replace people, but more so to take the people we already have and use them to maximum leverage. The biggest challenge in manufacturing is we can't find enough people to work in our growing manufacturing sector, growing even more significantly over the course of the last year. AI is a huge tool that manufacturers can use to improve their processes both on the shop floor and in the office and for the customer.
We're talking with Matt Kirchner from Lab Midwest and the Tech Ed Podcast. So, Matt, let's zoom out a little bit on AI. You hear so much what you just said about disruption, productivity, ethics. What aren't we talking about when it comes to AI?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, we've gotten familiar with platforms like ChatGPT or Perplexity, generative pre-trained transformers where we can ask it any question, ask it for a recipe, ask it for what restaurant we should go to, you know, ask it for an instruction of some sort, and it gives it to us. You know, that is one particular part of artificial intelligence. But AI is so much broader than what most people think of when they think of their, you know, their GPT, whatever one they're using, ChatGPT, for example. So what we really aren't talking enough about is what we call physical intelligence or applied artificial intelligence. All the things that we're buying today, whether it's our dishwasher, our refrigerator, our smartphones, all of the equipment that we use in manufacturing, our cars, all of these things come AI ready. They come with smart sensors and smart devices on them. And really, in as much as it's important for us to understand, hey, I can go to ChatGPT, I can ask it any question anytime I want to, it'll give me an answer really quickly. That's awesome. The real future, in my view, of artificial intelligence is how it's going to manifest itself in our day-to-day lives and how we're going to interact with artificially intelligent robots, computers, phones, appliances, vehicles, and so on. And that's really where we have to shift the conversation. It's not just about generative AI. Generative AI is AI, but AI is so much more.
Yeah. And we're all thinking about how do we AI-proof our careers, not only the younger generation, but, you know, everyone.
Right.
When we come back, I want to ask you that question and get your thoughts on thinking and creativity in the AI world. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest and host of the Tech Ed Podcast. So, Matt, we're going to preview the October 7th Midwest Manufacturing AI Summit a bit later in the show. But we're all seeing stories every day about how do you AI-proof your career. And I saw this quote from the CEO of Amazon Web Services, Matt Garman. Matt said, critical thinking and creativity could matter more than technical skills in hiring during the age of AI. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, whether you agree, and how do we actually teach those skills now that everyone's so focused on the tech of it all?
Absolutely. So, you know, the first thing, do I agree with that quote? I would say I agree with it in part, not in sum total. You know, you think about the kind of jobs that exist at a company like Amazon Web Services, and if you take a look, you find jobs like, you know, cloud solutions architect or a machine learning engineer. You know, those are great jobs. Those are jobs that can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Certainly, creativity, certainly critical thinking are important in jobs like that. But I'm going to guess if I submit a resume for one of those jobs and I say, I don't know anything about cloud systems architecture, but I'm really, really creative and I totally understand critical thinking. Guessing maybe I'm not getting that job, right? So it's an and, not an or. Yes, we need to be creative. Yes, we need to be good critical thinkers. We also have to have skills. And especially in this day and age of artificial intelligence, I think people are right to be a little bit concerned about the disruption that's coming because we're already seeing artificial intelligence disrupting the world of work. The best anecdote, is to prepare yourself with AI skills and understand how artificial intelligence is going to disrupt your world of work. We like to say AI isn't going to take your job, but somebody using artificial intelligence might. And if you don't take the time to learn how AI is going to disrupt the world of work, then your job might be the one that ends up on the chopping block. So the truth is, this isn't anything to be scared of. It's not anything to be afraid of. But we are going to be living in a world of lifelong learning where it's not enough to just get a degree, get a certificate of some sort, and have a job for 30 or 40 years. Our jobs are going to change every single year, and the people that are embracing this technology, are learning about it, are understanding how to deploy it at work and at home, are the people that are going to end up ahead. Those people don't have anything to worry about. The people who are going to sit and watch the world pass them by, they, in fact, do have a little bit to worry about.
So let's bring AI into the schools, not only in higher education, but even on the elementary level. I think a couple years ago, teachers were saying, No AI in the classrooms.
Right.
It's cheating. It is flat out cheating. How can students best tap into the platforms now on all levels?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is that, first when we saw AI coming into the classroom, there was a lot of worry, there was a lot of concern on the part of teachers. It was a tool that students could use to write essays, to do their homework, to solve problems. None of that is going away. The truth of the matter is, though, we can't be scared of AI in the classroom either. And those teachers that are trying to outlaw it or to say that, you know, you've got to sign a contract that you can't use it, that world isn't going to be the world that our students are living in. We are doing them a disservice if that's the philosophy we take. Instead, we have to realize that in the old days, school was the place that we went to learn, and home was the place that we went to practice. We would go home to do our homework, write our essays, study for our exams. In this day and age and going into the future, that is going to completely flip. The truth of the matter is that, yes, any student can use generative artificial intelligence to complete a homework assignment. We're not going to prevent them from doing that. There's no good way to police it. Instead, why don't we embrace that? And why don't we say, okay, you can go home and do your studying at home, do your learning at home. You can learn on e-learning. You can learn by looking at a lecture. You can learn on TikTok. You can learn on YouTube Shorts. I mean, there's so many different places we can go to gather information and educate ourselves. School's going to be the place where we go to practice, where our teachers are going to challenge us to think in a different way, are going to ask us about the meaning of what we just read, are going to ask us to do a hands-on skill, hands-on project, group project, interactive opportunity to do things with other students, work-based learning, internships. That's the future of education. So we do see a lot of educators that are trying to stand up all these rules around the use of artificial intelligence and prohibit it. I think that's a fool's errand. The question is, how do we embrace this technology, use it in the classroom in a way that's going to make our students career ready when they're done with their education?
Well, in that way, it's going to work even better because it helps us become even more deeper curious about what we care about.
100%.
And then if we can curate that, all the better. And that's how you AI-proof your career.
I agree 100%.
So let's take it to the job seeker level. LinkedIn recently had a study that real-life connections are more trusted than AI device.
Right.
AI advice. What's your advice for job seekers now? Maybe someone just out of college, they see all these platforms, they see, wow, here's an opportunity to curate all these jobs. But how do you mirror it with the real life connections?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, I agree with the premise that the interpersonal relationships are still going to rule the day in the age of artificial intelligence. Perhaps might even be even more important because we do have to determine who and what to trust. So, I think that part of it is really important. I think we're seeing a sea change in the area of work. A great article in the Wall Street Journal maybe a week and a half ago or so, 2 weeks ago, where employers are starting to get away from some of the AI generated interviews where you just have a student sit down in front of their camera and answer questions because the student or the candidates, I should say, were using generative AI to answer the question. You use voice to text and you text right into ChatGPT, for example. It gives you the perfect answer and you read it right back. That's AI interviewing AI.
That's
but
right,
yes. How are you going to find great people? What employers are starting to do is recognize, all right, we've got to take an individual. We've got to put them in an interview situation. We have to ask them some tougher and challenging questions, maybe not the questions that they're expecting, to really get a sense for who that person is. So I think that's good news for job seekers in this day and age. Mm-hmm. We've all heard the horror stories or the challenges of being, getting a rejection letter in the form of an AI written note that comes from some platform after you submitted a resume. That's not doing anybody any favors. But those interpersonal skills are going to be more and more important. And for a generation that suffered through COVID during their formative years and maybe didn't have all those in-person experiences when they were in high school, when they were in college, those are that much more challenging. And we have to make sure that we're challenging ourselves to build in those interpersonal skills, building interpersonal relationships, because that will be more important than anything else in the age of AI.
That's what we were taught in business school.
Indeed.
The art of networking. Networking may be an outdated term a little bit, but it's still about the power of connection.
100%. And we both had great examples of that, of people that have played a huge part in our careers and pointed us in the right direction, gave us an opportunity maybe we didn't deserve at the time, but because we had a big enough heart and enough energy and the why was important enough that you get that opportunity to shine, those relationships are going to be as important as ever.
We're talking with Matt Kirchner from Lab Midwest and the Tech Ed Podcast. When we come back, Matt, I want to get your thoughts on just practical level favorite daily AI platforms that you use. And then you're recently back from China, so I want to hear all about that trip. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Matt Kirchner from the Tech Ed Podcast in Lab Midwest. Matt, October 7th is the big Midwest Manufacturing AI Summit. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But I want to get your thoughts first on, just on a practical level. You get up in the morning, you probably have your routine, you're making your smoothie at home. But what are your preferred daily use AI platforms?
There are several, Jeff, and we can make a list as long as our arms about the different opportunities, the different platforms we use in our businesses around artificial intelligence. I'll share a few examples. I have a couple go-to GPTs, generative pre-trained transformers, like ChatGPT. I tend toward Perplexity, which I was hooked on before anybody even knew what Perplexity
was.
You
have the pro account?
I do, the Max, absolutely.
That's nice.
And
all right.
And the fact that you've got, A, that's protecting your data, right? So that's really, really important. Also gives you the latest and greatest information. But Love Perplexity is an aggregator that goes out to all the other GPTs and kind of aggregates their information. So that's a great one. I like Claude, and I like some of the ethical guardrails that they placed around Claude, which is another GPT that I use quite often. Midjourney, I mean, that I don't know if you've used that, but generating any image of anything anytime you want. I want to look at a beautiful cabin next to a tranquil lake in a mountain setting, literally 30 seconds later, it's a photo that nobody else has ever seen before, generated by artificial intelligence. Yeah. I do a lot of speaking, as you know, and do a lot of slides as part of the presentations that we do. So many of those slides are generated using Midjourney and the photo abilities on Midjourney. On the podcast, the producer, Melissa Martin, who, by the way, is the heart of the podcast, Melissa is. It was her idea to start it in the first place. She's a genius. Almost that whole podcast is generated, believe it or not, using artificial intelligence. She does the production work, just like your producer does the production work. But all the show notes, all of the summaries, all of the bookmarking, most of the social media, all of that is done by an AI platform. We have two of them that we use in that particular case. I'd also tell you, in our business, people are shocked to hear we're projecting net cash flow in our businesses now. We have four of them. 14 months out, with an accuracy of 1.5% using Microsoft Azure Data Factory and Microsoft Azure. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of go-tos that we probably have 40 of them that we use in our businesses. The message there is, don't be afraid of them. Go out and find something, start experimenting, and it'll grow from there.
Very good. You are recently back from China.
I am.
And I want to have you walk us through, first, just the prep for a trip of that magnitude, right? Talk about the experience, what you learned about AI and manufacturing there, and who you're with. That's a lot of questions at once.
We can hit on every single one of them. Yeah. So in answer to the first question, I asked Perplexity. I'm going to China for 8 days. What do I need to know?
There you go.
And that's an honest answer, actually. Watched a lot of YouTube videos, to be frank, about the culture in China. The truth of the matter is that the whole trip was a lot less. It was a little weird getting off the plane and going through customs and like, oh my goodness, I'm in this communist country. You know, you've got so many paradigms about what China is like. The places we were in Shenzhen, we were in Guangzhou, we were in Wanzhou, and we were in Shanghai. Way more, I mean, first of all, those two cities, Shenzhen and Shanghai, would feel like any Western city, believe it or not. It feels like being in London or Tokyo or New York City or, you know, other places I've been. And so from that standpoint, very, very comfortable, very open. I found it to be incredibly entrepreneuristic. I found it to be really, really profit-centered, capitalist, believe it or not. We visited in 6 days 26 different companies, AI companies, distribution centers. We visited robotics and automation companies. We visited e-commerce companies. So 26 of them in all in 6 days. Learned a ton. It's very Western in terms of the way the economy works. That really surprised me. The people were all very, very helpful. Doesn't change the fact that it's a communist country, and obviously the U.S. is in a real critical competition with that country in terms of technology, in terms of military stronghold, and so on. But it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. Learned a ton. I went along with a good friend of mine by the name of Todd Wanick. If that name isn't familiar, Todd is the CEO of Ashley Furniture Industries, the largest manufacturer of furniture in the world. Todd's a brilliant guy. He's a Forbes 500 guy, Forbes 400 guy, I should say, but really fascinating individual. And then a number of members of his leadership and management team, a few other thought leaders from around the country in the areas of automation, robotics, and technology.
Any specific best practices for the U.S. that you saw like, whoa, this is just something that blew my mind.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think about like the startup culture that I was in 30 years ago, where you were working, you know, in some cases turning around manufacturing companies or working in the RFID space. I had a lot of 100, 110 hour weeks. That was just kind of the norm. Mm-hmm. You liked it. You kind of lived that, you know, you lived that culture.
Right.
There was a lot of that over there. I mean, you'd walk into these companies and they were full of 40 or 50, 20 something people, cots along the wall. They're sleeping at work. I mean, it had that kind of Silicon Valley feel to it. That was a big eye-opener. There's a huge difference between how we do AI here in the U.S. and how they do it in China. So in China, all the code is open source. So there is no IP. There's no intellectual property or protection for the code that you're writing. It's anybody can look at your computer code. And whereas here in the United States, that's all locked down. You know, a company like OpenAI, what they're doing, they know and nobody else does. They protect that like crazy. So it's really going to be a competition between this open source approach to artificial intelligence and the capitalistic one we have here in the U.S. in terms of being focused on on winning the game and the winner gets the spoils. And so I'm obviously lifelong American. That model is near and dear to me. Praying and hoping and cheering for that model to win out. But it remains to be seen the level and the speed at which they're innovating in China. We can't ignore that. It was really, really impressive.
All right. When we come back, I want to get into the Manufacturing AI Summit coming October 7th to the Expo Center out at Wisconsin State Fair Park. This is The Upswing. We're talking with Matt Kirchner from Lab Midwest and the Tech Ed Podcast. Welcome back to The Upswing, joined in studio on this beautiful day by Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest and host of the Tech Ed Podcast. So, Matt, you and your company are hosting a big event next month in October out at Wisconsin State Fair Park at the Expo Center, the Manufacturing AI Summit. Tell us all about it, what to expect, and what are some of the conversations you're really excited about?
So the first thing is that, as we're talking to manufacturing leaders around the state of Wisconsin, around the Midwest, there's a real need for us to understand this technology, how it's going to transform completely the world of manufacturing. And it's happening really, really quickly. And people need to understand that manufacturing 3 years from now isn't going to look the way that it looks today. And really no market space is. But we've got such a vibrant manufacturing sector here in the Midwest. It's the lifeblood of our economy for so many reasons. And manufacturers have one of two options. I worry that if you're not the person that learns how this is going to disrupt your market space, that learns what you should be doing about it, how you can, without making really heavy lifts, a lot of easy ways to start using artificial intelligence and transforming manufacturing operations. The companies that don't do that are the ones that I think 5-10 years from now we won't be talking about anymore. And the ones that do are the ones that are going to absolutely thrive. That is the whole reason why we're doing this summit around manufacturing and particularly around artificial intelligence and manufacturing. It's going to be life-changing for manufacturers all over the Midwest, the ones that come. So what am I most excited about? I would say, first of all, the lineup of speakers that we have at this event. We're doing it in association with WIMTS. That's a show that a lot of folks are familiar with, specifically here in Southeast Wisconsin, but around the Midwest. It's a huge manufacturing show that's taking place. And so we've got speakers that are going to talk about digital transformation. We are going to talk about how we can deploy AI agents in manufacturing. We're going to talk about how we can gather more data in our manufacturing facilities than we've ever been able to before. And we talk about how we automate some of those back-end processes like transportation, like logistics, like scheduling, like dock management, like planning and scheduling our manufacturing plants, like customer service. So we've got a whole variety of individuals, keynote speakers, panelists, individuals that are attending the summit are going to have an opportunity to go out onto the show floor and see firsthand the kinds of technologies that are totally transforming manufacturing using artificial intelligence. So they're going to walk out of there with a whole different perspective of AI and manufacturing. The interest in this thing, by the way, has been absolutely overwhelming. Right. We're hoping we have enough space for all the people that are planning to be there. I will fill up quick, but super, super excited about it.
And even if I'm not leading a manufacturing company, it's open for all leaders. I mean, you will find some way to plug in and learn, correct?
Absolutely. And it's really, there's going to be learning opportunities for everybody. The topics are around manufacturing, but you don't have to run a manufacturing company to learn from what we're going to deliver at that summit. You think about people that exist because of manufacturing, insurance companies, banks, You know, all of our transportation companies, all of our logistics companies, so many of our different businesses exist because manufacturing exists, and they're plugging into the manufacturing environment, and that's how they're generating income for their businesses. That's how they're creating their livelihood. Their world is going to change too as manufacturing changes, and we certainly wouldn't close the door to anybody.
Are you doing the Tech Ed podcast live from there? You're speaking yourself.
I am indeed speaking myself, right. And we will record that, and we will have an episode of the Tech Ed Podcast, which you can find, by the way, at techedpodcast.com. And if you put a slash after that and you put AI Summit, you'll get all the information about the event.
Very good. On the Tech Ed Podcast side, how long have you been up and running? And then give us a flavor of a couple of your favorite guests and what you've learned from them.
Yeah, so we started, our first episode dropped the very beginning of January of 2021. So we're now over 4.5 years into this, 230-some episodes, I think, at this point. We're having so much fun with it. I have to give credit again to my colleague, Melissa Martin, who's also a principal in our media company. She is indeed the heart of everything that we do. And it's just, it's taken on a life of its own. We've now got a brand that is recognized internationally in the world of manufacturing and the world of technology. So we're having so much fun on the Tech Ed Podcast. Thank you for asking about that, Jeff. As far as favorite guests, I mean, 230-some in, it's hard to pick, you know, favorites. I would say, I could probably make a list of my top 10. Two of the people that would be on that list I will share with you. The first one joined us last year. Her name is Barbara Humpton. Barbara is the CEO of Siemens USA, one of the largest companies in the country. 46,000 employees, $20 billion in revenue. I mean, this is a real big company. And she was on last year. We talked all about the incredible opportunities in manufacturing. We're totally like-minded. On the idea that now is the day that you can get in on the ground floor of a manufacturing renaissance that's taking place. You can get in on the ground floor of manufacturing. And just like people got in on the ground floor of technology companies, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, that's where we are in manufacturing. She talked all about that. People want to get in. Young people, 80% of young people, of Gen Zs, for instance, want to get into careers in technology. Well, guess what? There's more technology in manufacturing than there is anywhere else. Manufacturing careers are tech careers, and we talked all about that with Barbara Humpton. Not too long after that episode, we did an episode with a gentleman by the name of Drew Crow. This guy, he grew up in St. Louis, and he was, you know, believe it or not, by the time he was 18, he had two felonies and a four-year-old son. By the time he was 18 years old, Drew found his way to manufacturing and found a place where he was accepted, where people gave him an opportunity, where there were people from all kinds of backgrounds that took them under his wing and showed him the opportunities that were available in manufacturing. We had a great conversation about that, how these careers are and should be open to everybody. And then at the end of that episode, Jeff, we asked Drew the same question we ask every guest on the Tech Ed Podcast. We said, Drew, if you could go back in time and talk to your 15-year-old self, you're a sophomore in high school, and give that person one piece of advice, what would it be? By the time Drew got through his answer, and I mean, this is like a tough guy with, like, he's wearing bling, he's got gold teeth. I mean, he was in tears, and his answer was, I would tell myself that it's going to be okay. And he said that that was like the greatest catharsis for him, that he needed to hear himself say that. Yeah. It was a super, super emotional episode on so many levels. Mm. So many incredible guests that we've had. But if I had to pick two of my top 10 favorites, both Barbara Humpton and Drew Crow would be on the list.
That's great advice for anyone, isn't
it? For sure.
So let's go back to the beginning of our conversation a bit. You and I have known each other for a long time. We went to grade school on together. Right. But you work day-to-day in the education and manufacturing space.
Correct.
Who's your favorite teacher and why?
Yeah, favorite teacher from what, from grade school or from
favorite
anywhere
teacher
along?
Favorite teacher.
Boy, that's an awesome question. I would say my favorite question, and we took the whole ride together, right? So your audience knows we were in grade school together, middle school, high school, and college at Marquette University. If I had to point to one, it would be, he's long since passed, Dick Davis at Marquette University, was a philosophy professor that just saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. I always say that we all have a few teachers, professors that show us that we have the ability to do something we didn't know we could do, show us we have a skill that we didn't know we had, put us on a career path that they didn't, that we didn't know we could be on. That's the magic of education. Anybody can, not anybody, but writing curriculum and creating the perfect way of teaching somebody something, that's important, but it's nowhere as important as the personal interest that our teachers take in us. You know, if we're specific on grade school, of course, Mrs. Pettit, I wouldn't have my great friend
Third
Jeff
grade,
Sherman if
yes.
not for Mrs. Pettit, because we sat next to each other in her class for most of the year, other than like the 1 month period of time where I had to turn my desk around and sit next to her because I was always in trouble and she wanted to be able to keep an eye on me. True story. And then, you know, Jim Schumann from sixth grade. I mean,
yes.
Who could forget Jim? He was incredible as well. But if I had to pick any one of them, it'd be Dick Davis.
Very good. Finally, as we close, Matt, we got a couple more minutes. I have a surprise question from the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. This is from your daughter, Sarah.
All right.
Sarah says, if you had to choose one of your childhood neighbors in their prime from 85th Street in Wauwatosa to run one of your businesses, who would you choose and why, and what are those qualities?
Wow, that's awesome. That's a great question. And Sarah's also your goddaughter.
So thanks.
Sarah, for as we call him, Uncle Jeff, for putting you up to that. And so we have a tradition. Everybody's got some goofy Christmas tradition, right?
Okay.
One of our traditions in our family is my son Noah and my daughter Sarah and I, while Renee, my wife, is back at home preparing some things for the Christmas holiday, we make a trip up that street, 85th Street in Wauwatosa, and I point out every house and I point out everybody who lived there. I would tell you, this might surprise you, there was a kid named Russell Alm that lived two doors up from us,
okay.
and three doors, I guess, as I recall. Great athlete, found his way into a career in accounting. But Russell was one of those guys that we all kind of looked up to. He was a couple years older than us, always had a creative view on something, knew every sports stat that you could think of, remembered everything that he learned. And people like that tend to be super, super successful in business. You know, we need to be lifelong learners. We need to be constantly gathering data. We need to be constantly looking at the world around us and seeing what it's trying to inform us about. Russell kind of lived that every single day of his life. I've lost touch with him long since, lost touch with Russell on, but he would be my pick.
Very good. Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest and host of the Tech Ed podcast. Big reminder, October 7th, the big Midwest Manufacturing AI Summit. Appreciate all you do. Not only for manufacturing, but just to grow the culture of business in the Midwest.
Likewise, Jeff. I mean, there's no greater advocate for the Midwest and Milwaukee in particular than Jeff Sherman. I've watched you do that for now. What are we going on? Probably 47 years, something like that.
Yes.
So couldn't be more proud of the incredible success you've had and more thankful for the advocacy that you perform on behalf of the people of Milwaukee.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to The Upswing. As we close the show, a big thank you to Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest and host of the Tech Ed podcast. The Midwest Manufacturing AI Summit is coming to the Expo Center at Wisconsin State Fair October 7th, right here in Milwaukee. Well, it's actually West Allis, but totally recommended, not only if you are really, maybe you're really deep in AI, maybe you think you know everything, but particularly if you're just starting out or just experimenting with AI, this is the perfect summit to gain that knowledge, to learn about strategies, and to build those connections in whatever business you are to continue to move it forward. It's all about building community, connecting with commerce leaders, and that's what the AI Summit next month is all about. You can always text UPSWING to 855-616-1620. We will send you all past episodes of the show. Appreciate you being with us.